We will have a message to now, short message. So, what do you want to do? I think, let's see. Should we stir up ourselves a little bit? How about it? Would you stand up, please? And just think for a second and just say, we just were ministered to from South Africa by the Holy Spirit from these dear people. We love you and thank you so much. Give them a hand. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. They came all the way. Wow. Beautiful. All right. Now kind of do a little dance like they did. Go ahead. Just kind of do some kind of a dance and then do the high five with your neighbor and say, hello, hello. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, after the message, these folks are going to come back and do a couple more songs, I think, right? Yes. Okay. Let's do. Yes. All right. You may be seated. How many have read the story about Samson and that particular portion about him shaking himself in Judges chapter 16 and verse 20? And she said, the Philistines be upon thee. So Judges 16, verse 20. Now, I need your help as I preach here tonight because I know that the Spirit is going to say something to us. And you can participate with me. Like down south, what do they say? Amen. They go, preach it, Pastor. Go for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. You know when you get to that part where it's so clear, God is saying something, and then we just pause for a second. And I have it in my mind. This is 10 years ago. I got a bullhorn from Party City, a foghorn. Foghorn, and I didn't get it today, but in the last few days I got to get the foghorn. I'm gonna blow this room to smithereens with that foghorn, okay? Because when I get there, you'll know it, and I'll know it, and we'll hit the foghorn, just in case anybody missed it. All right, go to Judges 16 and verse 20. Here we go. And she said, let's say, who's that, Delilah? Oh, man. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay away from Delilah. Good. Stay away from Delilah. Okay. Hey, young guy, stay away from Delilah. Amen? How about it? Hey, come on. Ula, stay away from Delilah. Okay, so here it is. And she said, read it out loud with me dramatically. She said, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before. Where did we? Yeah, okay. And shake myself. Okay, the screen was limited. And shake myself. You ever see a dog get in the water, come out of the water, dry as a bone. Once it's done, shaking, and it is dry, the dog shook itself, and all the water was gone. And Samson somehow, in his power, in his experience, he understood that there were times when he would get a hold of God, when he was walking with God, there was a time when he could shake himself and he would have power and he would do great things because he could shake himself. Let me ask a question. Are there times in your life when bad things stick to you? Huh? Go ahead, ask your neighbor. Are there things that stick to you? Huh? What about it? Are there times when that sticky stuff gets on you? Okay. I guess it wasn't a good time to ask your neighbor, because you're still thinking about it. Okay. Duct tape. Huh? Some stuff sticks. Yeah, it's hard to get it off. My mom maybe remembers the time when I was a teenager. My dad had a store. Our dad had a store. My sister's here. And he had a flat roof store, so there was tar and leaks sometimes. And one of my jobs was to go up there and fix the leaks in the roof or patch it and keep it running so that water wouldn't come into the store. And I was terrible at it because I get a little bit of tar on me, and you know, then I had an itchy eyebrow, and so, you know, I had tar there, and I tried to get it off, and then I got it over here. By the end of the day, I came down just a tar ball. I was covered from head to toe with tar. And I think that happens to us, that we get into stuff and we cannot even believe how difficult it is to get out of it. We get into stuff and we cannot believe how hard it is to get it unstuck, to get cleaned up. And I believe that Samson, he didn't realize he had a haircut which is where his power. Guys, he was sanctified to God. He was a sanctified Nazarite. Nazarite. I was practicing the spelling this morning, Nazarite. And Jesus was a Nazarene, completely different Nazarene, different words. This is the town he was from. This is the vow that was taken by in a family when they wanted to dedicate their child to God in a particularly special way. Their hair would not be cut and they would not drink the fruit of the vine nor any fruit of the vine that was fermented. No alcohol and not even any fruit of the vine at all. Samson had power. And maybe there are times when you and I need to shake ourselves and realize that we have fellowship with God and not our sticky stuff. We don't need the sticky stuff. We need to shake ourselves and get the dust off our feet. We need to get the wickedness out of our hearts. We need to cleanse ourselves, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, how can I do this? Well, the finished work. Let me show you. And this is the last part. I told you this would be short, but oh, is it good? This is good. How many gods do we have? One. How many persons? God is three persons. Are each of the persons fully God? Each person is fully God. And how many gods do we have? One God. The natural man doesn't understand how those three things go together. But the spiritual man says, amen. that God so loved the world that he gave his son, that his son and the father sent the Holy Spirit. And you can't write it the other way, that the Holy Spirit sent the father to die for our sins and sent the son of God to be with us. It goes the other way, that the father loved us, said he sent his son, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he is present with us here tonight. And he is God. And God dwells in each of us. And we can shake ourselves. Here's the last part. I'm going to say that for the next 15 minutes. So it goes like this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then there is me. How many persons are in this picture? Four. Somebody said two. We got to talk to you after the meeting. There are four. There is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and me. And the average person is consumed with himself. Life starts with him, it's about him, and it ends with him. And he spends most of his waking hours relating to himself and thinking of his ability and his talent and his intelligence and his success and his past and his present and his future. But think about it. Jesus said, nobody knows the Father but the Son. And nobody knows the Son but the Father. And to him whom he will reveal him. That means, sisters and brothers, the greatest miracle that could ever happen in a human being's life is that God would bring us into the Trinity. That God would say, you are brought in, you are made in my image. I have ordained you, I have crowned you, I have anointed you, I have called you. I want you to walk by faith in me and make me your highest priority. I want you to set your heart upon me. I want you to believe that I am the answer for your life. I want you to believe that I am the whole thing, the whole enchilada, the whole reason for existence, the whole explanation for reality, the very essence of reality. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the answer for your every problem. I am the solution for every single need. And no weapon formed against you can prosper. I am God. I am your shield. I do not slumber or sleep. The sun will not smite you by day, the moon by night. No, even the angels will not allow your foot to be moved in Psalm 91, Psalm 121, Psalm 62. I will set you on a rock higher than yourself. Why don't we care more about this? Let me show you. I'll break that relationship, and here I am. I go to church if it is convenient. No. You go to church with high priority. You're going to hear from God. I'll be a believer if everything works my way. No, you go deeper and you learn God and his way. And he will build you up and he will show you. Amen. Yes. But it is so easy somehow. Our nature is inclined to Delilah. And she caught me. Delilah caught me. They gave me a haircut. And I said, she said, the Philistines be on you. Like white on rice. Like the enemy come on you. You cannot fight off the enemy. Samson woke up out of his sleep like, yeah, what? This is not a problem. I shake myself. Like at other times. We don't know what that means. It's like an obscure verse in the Bible. But I want to just introduce this thought to you. In Romans chapter 8, and this is the closing part, probably, but turn to Romans chapter 8, and I want you to see this. Romans chapter 8 is about the Trinity. Romans chapter 8 is about you and I in fellowship with the Trinity. This is about the Spirit interceding for us in verse 27. This is about the Father saying, all things work together for good for you. This is God saying, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. This is God saying amazing things about us. We better rewrite this little sketch here. God the Father is in Romans 8. God the Son is in Romans 8. God the Holy Spirit is in Romans 8. And here's the believer. And he's with other believers. And they're in fellowship with God. This is the body of Christ. And their world is not just this small world. They have a mega perception of reality. Just like Mary would say, I gave birth to a baby, but oh no, it's more than the birth of a baby. I know that this is a miracle. I know this is Christ. I know this is the Messiah. I know that I have been called by God. I know that an angel visited me. I know that God spoke to me. And I know that when my belly was extending itself and I went to see Elizabeth, she said, the mother of my Lord. Wow. I know that. You know, when you walk with God like so many of you are doing, and I'm so thankful for that, like Neil Lockhart and Maggie years ago when they said, we want to do bus ministry. Where can we find a church that is doing bus ministry up in Maine? And somebody said, the Bible Speaks is doing bus ministry. And so Neil and Maggie came only because they had a desire for children. But as they were listening to the Word of God in the ministry, this big box, this is what happens. It's more than children and caring about them. As great as it is the finished work. It is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that is building us up in the body. We are seeing something and understanding something. And look at what happens when we are built up. Like Paul is even begging for an argument. He's getting feisty in this text. He goes, verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, he's fellowshipping with God. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Here comes. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who? Come on. Like Paul is saying. Come on, talk to me. Who? Tell me, where are they? I am in fellowship with the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have given me this mega assurance. For I am persuaded, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, that is risen again. I'd like to be Samson saying these words. Philistines, be upon you. He rises up and he shakes himself. And then he doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the power. But I think we do have it. We shake ourselves from all the sticky stuff. And we put on ourselves. We put off the old man. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe these words. Even if I do not believe these words are saying something that is particularly unique and powerful. Who will separate us from this love? In verse 35, look up at the screen. There is a perfect love in the Trinity that is extended to us as believers. And who will separate us? What could happen that would separate us? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. The Philistines gouging out my eyes. the Philistines being upon me and putting me in a harness and setting me in the millstone? What can separate me from God's love? Can death? Can the devil? Can any lie? Is there anything greater or more powerful than God? Is there anything in this picture? Is there anything at all? Even when I am like in a dull zone and indifferent and I haven't been in fellowship with God at all in my life, can that separate me from his love? No. What can separate me from his love? Nothing. When I don't care, he cares. When I don't believe, he cannot deny himself. If I deny him, he denies me in terms of my experience, like Samson, and I shake myself and I try to find him, but I don't find him in my practice. But actually, it is simply a matter of believing in the nature of God. And Samson is saying, put my hands on the pillars, God, one more time. And down comes the house, because God did not forsake Samson. And the same, that's what I want to say for us. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I do believe, I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, or powers, nor things present, nothing, nor things to come, height or depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So that's true. And I just want to say, if it's true, why don't I draw near to it? Why don't I embrace it with all my heart? Why don't I respond to that kind of love and enjoy it? And when that sticky stuff comes, you know, that stuff sometimes it sticks so good, it sticks to you. Learn to say, forget it. I don't care about it. I'm not remembering it. I'm not stirring it up. I'm not going to harp on it, focus on it. I'm not going to lean on it. I'm not going to stay on it. I'm not going to meditate about it. I'm not going to live in the hurt of it. I'm not going to live there. I'm going to shake myself free from it. I'm going to receive the grace of God that saved me will be the grace of God that will carry me and the grace of God that will build me up and the mind of Christ that will give me fellowship in the Trinity. Listen, Jesus could have had the cross sticking to him. But he went through it and went to heaven and is seated at the right hand. And when he sees us, he sees victory. When he relates to us, it's victory. And he is so filled with joy over what that cross means and what it means to us and what it means in our life in a personal way that we are free. And now we have something that we can boast in all the day long. For our God is mighty, and he has done mighty things for us. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, there's a lot more to say in this message, but some of us know that sticky stuff should be shaken off, and we should more heartily embrace what the Trinity says, heartily embrace the grace, the work, and the presence of the Trinity. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You have passed from death unto life. You are seated in heavenly places. Neither do I remember your sins anymore. I have called you by name. I put your name in the book. I have sealed you with the Holy Spirit. You are mine. And in practice, God, when we are in fellowship, in faith, in those realities and that truth, we are clean by the word which you've given to us. We are in fellowship with the Trinity, and this is our new life. Keep us in our hour of temptation. Lead us in understanding the life of Samson and his ultimate victory, what it means to live in faith and to have this Holy Spirit truth in us. Anyone here is not a believer, come to Jesus tonight. Come by faith. Come as you are. Believe in Jesus personally. Trust in him in your personal way. Walk by faith in God. God will lead you, guide you, and show you. Say to Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you. In Jesus' name, say it, please. I believe in you. Say it in your heart. I believe in you. I trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.